to Unsigned 518. I am here with four dead kings. How's it going, guys?
Good. Thanks for having us.
You're super welcome.
Thank you.
Now, I guess what we're going to do to start, you know, even though I say it every time, it's not a visual, nobody knows, but we'll start to my left and just introduce yourself, what you do in the band, and we'll go around the room.
All right. Hey, I'm Dave White and or Ziz Gorlin, depending on who you're talking to. I play bass and do all the recording and mixing and such.
My name is Randy Wharton. I am the drummer. I also play a little bit of guitar and do help with a lot of the songwriting.
Eric Apron, lead guitar, obviously some rhythms here and there, some backup vocals, and songwriting with everybody.
What's up? Greg Myers. I sing lead vocals. I do some rhythm guitar and some of the writing as well.
Nice. And, you know, mentioned when you guys got here that, like, I was listening to your music in here before you showed up. That's what I refer to as my research. Like, I just, you know, smoke a bowl, put on some music. But I guess what I want to do is go to the origin story of Four Dead Kings, whoever wants to take the lead and just kind of bring us up to speed on the band.
Yeah, this is Randy. So basically, I would say the band kind of started about 6 months into the pandemic when I decided to kind of learn guitar. And I basically wasn't getting together with like bands or anything at that time. So I basically just started writing, and I basically wrote about like 12 or 15 songs in like a year. And then I decided, all right, it's time to put together a band. And then I put out like a Craigslist ad and a Facebook ad, and then that's when Greg here responded. This was like March of 22. And we jammed for like 6 or 8 months, just kind of writing like acoustic stuff, him and the old guitarist. And basically we did that for like 7 or 8 months, and then we started looking for bass. And that's when Dave here came on, and we played for another like year and a half with our old guitarist. And then he left, and my buddy Eric here joined us in October of last year.
You guys recorded an album too?
We recorded an album with the old guitarist. And then, so Eric joined in October and has basically like learned the new album, the old album, and we've written like 6 songs since then.
Now, so you were saying it started like in the beginning of the pandemic, and you were learning to play guitar. So like you didn't play guitar, you were starting from scratch.
Yes.
And then in that amount of time, you learned to play guitar, learned to write songs, formed a band.
He's still learning. Recorded.
Well, I mean, we all are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all still learning.
Yeah, really. We definitely all are.
Yeah, I was only a drummer up until that point. Okay. And I just decided to.
So like the music was in you, like, but you weren't a guitar player.
I write a lot of the melodies and the lyrics for music. So like that part came natural to me. So it was like I just picked up the guitar. I literally just had a cheat sheet. The top of the cheat sheet was 20 chords I thought I could play, and the bottom of it was just like 40 chord progressions. And I just started writing. I didn't learn a cover song or anything. I literally just started writing, and
That's interesting. Because like I always say, and I mean, you know, whatever my view, but I always think that the cover song's a very important step to writing your own songs, because it shows you like the... It's almost like a fucking tutorial in a video game. Like, it's, like, cool to watch, but it's giving you information. Like, if you're trying to write songs and you're listening to all these songs and learning covers, it gives you, like, some ammo. So I guess how is it to write songs without the influence of covers?
Well, I definitely have, like, a certain style. Let's put it that way. And actually, after writing, like, 15 or 20 songs now, I see the need to actually, like, start learning covers, because I kind of repeating the same patterns that like I just developed writing my own stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, again, everybody does.
Like, so that's what I told him to do. I told him to start learning covers, because that's what I did too. I played bass for like, I don't know, 2 decades. I didn't start playing guitar until maybe 8 years ago.
I did the opposite. Acoustic guitar was my instrument. You know, I'm 52 now. I started playing acoustic guitar at 18 and started playing the bass at fucking 48.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of an easier switch that direction.
Yeah, yeah.
The other direction, I played fingered bass. So I had to learn how to use a pick and all that.
See, I'm trying. I play with a pick, and I'm trying to learn how to use, yeah, you know, the fingered stuff. Because, and like you said, how he's still learning. Like, I'm like, there's normal techniques that everybody else already fucking knows, and I'm like, I don't know.
How well, I told Randy. This, yeah, I told him this. I told him I, that's how I learned. I started playing, trying to play Nirvana songs.
Right, and even if you don't play them out necessarily, although it, I always think it's good to have cover songs as a band in your quiver, but like. But learning them, it like you pulled little teeny things that you like,
yep,
and it's just like cooking, you know, you little ingredients here and there. It's not cheating.
Borrow from
like,
this and that.
You know, it's not like, oh, I used flour, sugar, and eggs, so fuck, I stole the recipe. You know what I mean? It's like there's little things you can take and make your own shit. You know?
And it's funny with the guitar and bass switching back and forth. You understand between those two instruments how important your picking or fingering hands really are,
right,
and like what that brings with the dynamic of the sound and everything else.
Yeah, and a lot of the time, you know, bass gets a rep for being like an easy instrument or whatever, and it's because people are always focusing on the left hand. I mean, and there's a lot of difficulty here, but like the right hand can do some fucking wild shit.
That's where a lot of the magic happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, first album was, it was what, you three and a different guitar player, you said?
Correct.
And now you've been caught up to speed, and you've got like that, all those songs. And
yep.
So other than the song, you know, I heard one that came out super recently, like
just a week or two ago.
Yeah. What was it like? Yeah.
Yeah. Memorial Day.
And that's you on that one?
Yep.
And then, sweet. And, you know, we were in the same situation with our band where we had some songs that we recorded before the band was final form. You know what I mean? And now, like, it's like moving forward. So I guess we want to talk a little bit about, you know, or we will want to play a song like down the road, or a couple of songs later on in the episode. But I want to talk about playing out live as, like you said, you had kind of learned guitar and learned songwriting, formed the band. Have you done live shows up to now?
This band has done, just the four of us, we've done an open mic at the Rustic Barn, but we've all played in bands for, I've played in bands for 30 years. Eric is my best friend. We grew up across the street. We've been in bands together for 30 years. So.
But this iteration is new enough where it's not hit the circuit yet.
Yeah, no, still definitely working on the live thing. I think coming up in, next Thursday in June in Albany is going to be like our first one.
Yeah, June 12th we're opening up for the Soap Girls at Empire Underground.
Oh, yep. That's dope. That's a good venue. But so what do you think? What are your plans, I guess, for the band playing live, like jumping into the scene, like with all that experience? Like, are you looking to, I guess, elevate out of the scene, or like what are the plans for the band, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. My stoned brain.
I think what we're starting off with is like, let's get our live act, you know, up to snuff where we want it. Let's try to, you know, get a good following on the local circuit around here, you know, local circuit, capital region, whatever you like to call it, up to Glens Falls, you know, maybe down towards, you know, Woodstock, something on there, like closer to where Dave lives. But still at the same time, just like, you know, get some following. It's not easy being a local original rock band. Back in previous lives, like we mentioned, we were in other bands and stuff like that. It took quite a bit of work and a lot of gigs and not much money and that type of stuff to get that following. So we know we're going to have to put the work in. We know we're going to have to take some gigs that aren't going to be, you know, the most sexy gigs. But we're going to put the work in. We're going to keep on perfecting.
Well, we have a gig. We have a gig together in what? That's October
12th.
Yep. Yeah.
It's 12th. I was going to say 10th, but that's going to be sexy.
That's going to be a sexy gig.
Yeah, I was going to say, you just make it as sexy as you can.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. But no, we've definitely played some unsexy gigs. We've the ones where you're only playing to the other band.
Yeah, exactly.
that we've had some of those, and then, you know, we got to say that, like, technically the other band played to more people because we're a five piece and they're only three. So it's like, well, we only played to three people, but you guys got to play for five. So yeah.
We played a bunch of open mics and a couple gigs a couple of, you know, a year ago with our old guitarist. But I mean, like, we just want to get back out there again.
But you're,
you know,
ready. You're ready.
Now that he's, you know, ready to go, and we got 16 songs and a ton of new material. Oh, wow.
Probably 16, I'd like, fuck, it took us like 5 years to get 16 songs. Like, yeah, I don't even know if we have that many.
We
yet.
Just drilled out six brand new ones, like in kind of
like
short
last
order, like last 6 months.
And you know, you mentioned like the acoustic guitars. Is that how a lot of the songs start, or you're shaking your head? No, not anymore.
I was gonna say not
anymore. It varies widely.
I've been slowly edging the band to just get like a little harder and heavier as time goes on, and I'm winning the battle. I think.
Which I agree with. I switched because I was playing acoustic, and originally I just wanted to do an acoustic thing, and then Randy just plays too heavy, so he hits the drums too hard, and it wasn't working with acoustic. So then we decided to get a bassist, and then snowball from there. And then I just recently switched from acoustic to electric, so now we're just. Someday maybe we'll bring acoustic back for certain songs.
Yeah, certain songs.
We'll make it special again.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you're kind of writing them with the full composition in mind rather than
you know,
the acoustic approach and then turning it into something.
Yeah, I still, with everything that I write, I write on my acoustic and then figure it out later on, you know, as it were.
We have too much material is our problem. We have hundreds of ideas. It's just like, which ones do we want to do as a band? You know what I mean? So it's like,
do you think that's going to take playing them in front of people to figure out? Like, you know, are you going to kind of play all the songs and see what the reactions are? Or are you going to try to curate them more yourself?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, the set we're going to do is like all of our newest stuff. Like the stuff you have the highest chance to fuck up.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know. It's the most exciting of the material so far, so you got to get into that.
Yeah, that's the scariest like part, and like the most exhilarating part, I think, is like playing new shit for people, you know, and like deciding if it's even going to stick around. Oh, and by the way, Calvin's a big wimp.
Like, I don't even know.
Nothing, probably. he will back. Sometimes he backs into the coffee table. And just bumping into the coffee table will scare him enough where he cries as if he's hurt. So
he's the dog that runs away from cats.
Oh, he's the dog that runs away from everything. Unless it's like on the other side of the field and he's looking out the window. Then he'll act real tough. But right, bud?
He's like, I'm being complimented. I appreciate this.
Yeah, you're not, pal. We're saying you're not. Yeah,
yeah. We all kind of write and then think about like what... Which one of my ideas would fit this band? And those are the ones we kind of like, you know, that we'll kind of show each other. And that's kind of, we got a big list of like all songs that, you know, four or five of mine, four or five of his. And then we just kind of settle on one or two.
Right.
And just work on the, you know.
All right. Well, I think we should probably hear one now. So what do we want to play?
The one that we just released, it's called Never Going Back. I kind of got the idea. My uncle passed away 2023, and he was a Vietnam veteran. And I remember hearing some stories. He volunteered to go to Vietnam, which is kind of unusual.
Yeah.
And he did a tour. He came back, and he wasn't treated so well. So it was back then when, you know, they were getting a lot of flack coming home. And he decided to volunteer for a second tour just because he came home and he wasn't comfortable and he wasn't getting treated very well. And so that's what the song's about. After he passed away, I was looking for a topic. I had some ideas, some musical ideas, and that's what we came up with. So.
All right. So let's check out Never Going Back, Four Dead Kings. And we'll be right back.
Even
Us, Never Going Back, Four Dead Kings. And that one has, you know, just a little, I guess, heavier edge than some of the stuff that I heard before. And, you know, we've said that that's definitely something that you're leaning into. So how is that affecting the songwriting?
Yeah, I definitely think we're doing that. I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, Eric, the guitarist, is, you know, inspired by much more of the heavier, you know, Black Sabbath type of stuff. So I just think that the material we're writing now is incorporating that.
And the dynamic shift of Greg originally when we first started jamming and, you know, seeing if it was going to work. He was playing acoustic. He's transferred over to the electric. We got a little crunch on him now. So it's like helping fill out where there was acoustic with a little bit of distortion. Dave's doing a little more extra chunking and funky stuff on the bass. So we're like these next few songs that we release outside of the new one that we just released, I think it's going to kind of show you that path on kind of where we're heading. It's kind of developing a little bit more with each song that we create.
And do you think like moving in kind of like that newer direction, it's going to be something that you'll keep running with, or are you just kind of shifting ever so slightly to include like a little more of a crunch, and then that's your...
We're going to do a ukulele album next. We're going to completely change the dynamic. And Randy's now that Randy's mastered the guitar, he's going to take up trumpet.
The sitar.
Saxophone.
No, but, no, but still, to your point.
I'll still... What's that big thing?
The bassoon?
There's going to be a lot of whistle solos, too.
Whistle solos.
Fucking pan flutes and shit.
I'd still put some grit on it. Doesn't matter. Right. You can saturate any signal.
Yeah, that's true. Throw anything through a fucking distortion pedal and it'll sound heavy as fuck. So, like, with the first, you know, that first single is out now. Are there plans to write an album? Or I know you've got like a shitload of songs like written. Like, are you planning on recording and putting them into an album?
Yeah, I think what we're sort of going for probably is I guess maybe like every other month or something, releasing a single.
Nice.
And then I guess it's hard to navigate how the best way it is to, like, albums aren't super cool anymore. Tell we want to be it, yeah. Super cool? I don't know. We all still like listening to albums, so we still kind of want to be doing that. So you kind of take a middle ground where you just kind of release a couple songs here and there, and then probably release those in addition to like another 5-6 songs and have a full album or an EP.
I mean, I've even seen the... And like they call it like the waterfall method, where you release an album, but you basically you release a single, and then, you know, the next month you release another single that has that first single on it, and then the next month you release a single that has those two singles on it.
Yeah, all those, you know, streaming platforms roll over the re-released songs into the same views.
Yeah, and we did that, like how we released the album, because we'd never released like an album like that before, but we released like the single. And then when we release the album, it does like roll those streams, you know, because it's the same identifying number. But basically, I've heard of a bunch of bands doing that. You release one single, and like every time you basically release the album over the course of a fucking year.
Yeah.
So by the time, you know, by the time the year is done, you have a full album, but you get it one song at a time. Oh, there we go. Now Calvin's happy. If you want to push him off, you can.
He's gonna snug in. I need some lumbar support.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That was my dog Shadow.
You know,
I'm
obviously
sure.
Because it's an audio only. You know, Calvin was crying and being whiny, but apparently he just wanted to fucking squeeze in on the couch with the Four Dead Kings. Now he's happy, right, bud?
Give him a tambourine.
Yeah, he'd probably be pretty good at it. So, you know, taking those songs and releasing them as a single, I'm not sure if I got this right, but you were saying you record, Dave?
I live a couple hours down south in Germantown, I guess, just across the river from Kingston.
Okay. We're playing in Kingston next weekend.
Oh, nice. Where at? Like Keegan Ales or something?
No,
or?
It's called the Avalon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's Kingston, and I think it's the Avalon. Yeah, we're playing that. Anyway, go ahead.
But, my room looks a little bit like this, just, like, even more stuff piled up everywhere. So I got a reasonable little studio in Germantown, New York. So I'm just sitting in front of rack gear and stuff all day. So as many times as I can get them down there to record is as fast as we can do stuff, because they're all a bunch of busy guys.
Right, right.
And I'll tell you, it was the most... We previously recorded two different albums previously, and recording in a studio, it was like the most chilled, relaxed way that I've ever recorded a song. And I believe we're going to be doing the same thing, like come up with that click track. And it was just like, it was just, there was like no stress. There was no anything. You're not hiding behind glass with someone talking to you.
And you're also not paying a ridiculous amount of money.
It was just a great experience. So,
yeah, because that's got to bring out different final product for bands, whether you're under the fucking gun, like you feel like there's a literal gun at you and you've got to get shit done now because you don't have the money to not, you know, like, if you could take your time.
And that balance of it, not canning the music, right? And like overcompressing and like all that other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit I don't know anything about. Like, like I have no idea. I don't know. It's mixing and mastering and shit is like, it's like a black arts, as far as I'm concerned. I'm like, I don't know what you're doing, but
his pixie dust.
I'm like, whatever magic it is, it's awesome.
Like, we're recording the drums, and Randy's like, you can edit those up. I'm like, in like 3 hours, if you want to sit and watch me.
Right.
That's kind of the weird thing. He's a band member, and it also ends up being the mixing engineer and the producer. So. Right. We go down there, if he says, you got to do that again, that sucked.
Right.
Do it again, or do it this way. You have to listen to him.
You, Dave.
You can't fuck with my art.
Okay. Yeah.
But you got to do it because he's a producer. So he takes on a different role, which is good.
Because in the studio, you need somebody that's...
You have to have somebody, driving you.
You know, because if you have a fucking yes man in the studio...
It's
not going to work.
No, it doesn't work out. It's everybody's got like a different trick. You get them to think that they did a really good take on one of them, and you're like, we got it already. Now let's just do like two or three more for funsies.
Just for fun.
And then they slay it.
Yeah. That's a really solid trick. Like I do not music related stuff, but I do for my job, I do audio editing. And I have non-actors doing things. I'm going to use that. Like, oh, we got it. But let's just do it one more time.
It definitely works.
Yeah. I'm going to use that shit. All right. Well, we should hear another song. So what's the song that we're going to hear now?
What did we say?
A Good Life.
Yeah. All right. Anything you want to add?
Yeah,
to
this is a song we wrote off the first album. It was a guitar idea that our old guitarist had that he kind of mocked up into like a good structure. Just the guitar, and he sent it to me, and I basically wrote a bunch of lyrics and vocal patterns around, you know, at the time my nephew was just about to graduate, and I have, you know, two sons that are seniors and juniors in high school, and they're, you know, getting ready to go off to college. So I was just kind of thinking about that, and it was right after my son's birthday. So I basically kind of wrote this idea about, you know, just watching your kids grow up and move out and, you know, go off to college type of stuff. And then I kind of send that idea to Greg, and Greg, you know, we kind of messed around with some other ideas. He kind of changed a little bit, and then we put it out. You know, we work really well together. A lot of times I'll come up with ideas and send it to him, and we'll, you know, we change stuff around, and we all kind of write as a group like that. We're all like really open-minded, like best idea should win.
Right.
You know,
whatever serves the song.
Whatever serves the song. So it's like, it's fun to write in that environment. But that's basically what this song's about.
All right. Well, let's check out A Good Life, Four Dead Kings, and then we'll be right back to wrap it up.
Here we go.
A good life for Dead Kings, and I want to thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day to come up here and do this with me. I really appreciate it. And before we go, like I do with all my guests, I want to give you a chance to say your gratitude. So Dave, we'll start with you.
Yeah, man, thank you specifically for having us and the gang for being so easy to work with, even when I'm making them slave away in the studio. Do it again. Yeah, come see us on Thursday, June 12th at Empire Live for the Soap Girls. We are not as thin or attractive, but...
Or soapy. Yeah.
Might be soapy, I don't know.
Yeah, thank you for having us. We really appreciate, you know, the opportunity and looking forward to playing, you know, with you guys in October. Yeah, and I'd just like to thank, you know, these guys for... getting together, you know, on a weekly basis and doing this. It's just, you know, it's a passion of mine. I really enjoy it, and I'm glad we're doing it. And obviously, thank you to all the, you know, my wife and all the ladies for letting us make noise once a week and getting out and do, you know, what we love to do.
All right. Andy, thanks for making such an awesome, you know, easy experience. So thank you. Obviously, to my three brothers right here, like, taking me in, making it very, you know, easy to get caught up to speed with the new tunes that I was learning and writing the new tunes and being open to me bringing my material in, you know, having no opinions, just working together, and we're just, you know, knocking things out. Obviously, thank you to my family and stuff. Obviously, this takes me away. Thanks to Greg's wife for allowing us to jam there once a week and raise holy hell in the basement and that type of stuff. So special thanks to them. And yeah, I guess that's all I got.
Yeah, basically the same thing. Thanks for having us. Really appreciate it. I'll thank these guys for, you know, maybe not directly, but they're pushing me, you know, indirectly, but they're pushing my writing and my playing skills and all that. So I appreciate them for that. And all three of them are dedicated. They're there every week unless there's an actual issue or
a practice.
Yeah. some kind of breeder thing. But other than that, that's what I don't have any kids, so they're
same.
Breeders.
Same.
And yeah, and I have to thank my my lady Leslie, cuz she deals with it every week. Always supports me in music, so I have to thank her as well. So, yeah.
Awesome. All right, so they are Four Dead Kings. I am Andy Scullin. This is Unsigned 518. See you on the road. Unsigned 518 is produced and hosted by me, Andy Scullin. New episodes are available every week wherever you stream podcasts. If you'd like to help support the show, please like and subscribe wherever you are listening. Or you could buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/unsigned518. If you would like to advertise on the show, send me an email at unsigned518@gmail.com. And to be a guest on the show, reach out to me through Instagram at unsigned518. Take care of one another, and I'll see you next week.